Welcome to episode 4 of the Friday Morning Rundown. The sun is rising, the cock is crowing, and the pussies are meowing. Let's get right to it. The Sunday night game this week is the Atlanta Braves with Bryce Elder versus the Mets with Sevy going on Sunday night. There are no doubleheaders this weekend, but I wanted to wish a special happy Mother's Day weekend to our PPBDL matriarch, Derek. A look at the Roto standings. We've got Carter with 113 points, Hammy 95.5, Allen 95, Niska 90, Ryan 87.5, Jared 84, Eddie 81, Irby 71.5, Dodger 64.5, Kamish 55, Alex 54, and Derek 45. The theme this week is 500. So while it means nothing here, really, I went back and looked at every championship team's record after week 6 of their championship season. So starting from 2016, Hammy was 2-1-3, but if we take out the ties, he was 3-3. Josh was 6-0 in his first championship season. Ryan was 4-2. Eddie was 3-3. Josh during the COVID was 16-2, but really it was 6-0 going into the third week technically. Carter was 6-0, Allen was 3-3, Josh was 4-2. So will this signal the separation between playoff contending teams after this week? Probably not, but we do see Derek, Hammy, Irby, and Dodger sitting at 2-3 going into this weekend. So these are really big matchups going into the weekend. There's one head-to-head Irby and Dodger, so one of those teams will be 3-3, the other will be 2-4 and could signal a sell-off. So we're also at the third-way mark of the season, and kind of with 2021 weeks, so we'll say we're the third of the way through the regular season. So I went back and I looked at every team's best record after week 6. So Alex's best start was in 2023. He went 3-3. Allen in 2017 went 4-2. Carter in 2021 went 6-0. Derek in 2021 went 4-2. Dodger in 2016 went 4-2. Eddie in 2023 went 4-2. Hammy in 2022, he went 5-1. Jared went in 2018 and 2021 went 4-2. Josh in 2017 went 6-0. Niska in 2022 went 5-1. Ryan in 2017 went 6-0. And Irby in 2023 went 5-1. Our clubhouse leaders in the categories this week, Hammy currently has runs with 22. Irby, Ryan, and Niska all have 8 home run. Niska has 25 RBI. Carter has 7 stolen bases. Carter has OBP with 386. Ryan has slug with a 596. Kamish has Ks with 38. Jared has ERA and whip 1.56. and 0.635. Carter and Niska have 4 wins. Carter has 3 saves, and Allen has 4 holds. I apologize, my 12-year-old daughter is walking around with noise-canceling headphones on and has no idea that I'm doing this right now. So, once again, I am sorry. Looking at our matchups, we've got Allen versus Eddie. Allen's currently up 7.5 to 4.5. They've played each other 14 times, and we're tied 7-7. Eddie has 2 pitchers left to Allen's 5. On the categories, Allen is currently winning by 1 run. He has 5 more home runs. He locked that up once he hit 1 home run this week. I am up by 6 RBI and 4 stolen bases. Our OBP, I'm up 319 to 315, and he's run away with slug 531 to 377. On the pitching side, I have 8 more Ks. He's winning ERA 1.74 to 2.7, and he's winning WHIP 0.871 to 1.1. And it is fitting that I just got a notification that he dropped the superstar Hall of Famer versus the Angels, Michael Wacha, who it was fun to watch last night, pitch a gem into the seventh inning, only to see all sorts of fun stats that he was, I think, second. He got up to second as the lowest ERA versus the Angels. So that was fun to screenshot and send. And then, you know, he had a couple runs that he gave up late there. We're tied with the wins, 2-2. He's up by one save and one hold. On the hitting side, Allen is locked up, you know, most of them. I'm not going to be close to getting back in home runs. I do have stolen bases, but he's running away with slug. On the pitching side, he's got three more starters than I do, and I'm not winning by enough Ks to hold that lead. So my only hope is that one of his pitchers finally has a blow up and brings his ERA and WHIP within striking distance so I can try and take one of those back. I tried to add some holds guys on the run this week just to keep pace, but losing saves right now is not ideal either. It's tough to beat Allen in holds, so I was assuming I would have saves while I try and pace him in holds, but it looks like I'm going to fall short on both of those. So I think Allen will overtake me in Ks and wins with his volume. His pitchers won't falter enough to where I could try and get back ERA or WHIP. Going up against an entire team of middle relief pitchers is very frustrating. When I looked at this matchup to start the week, I thought, oh man, he doesn't have a starting pitcher until Thursday or Friday at the earliest. And he wasn't going to make it to the 40-inning pitched mark. But I swear, every single night, three or four of his relief pitchers get in, somehow get a hold or a win. And, you know, he was going into last night before any of his starting pitchers had pitched, and he had already had like 12 or 13 innings. So I was hoping that he was going into Thursday with maybe one or two innings pitched with zero wins, saves, or holds. But I was already starting in a hole before Wacha took the mound and dominated. I think Allen wins this matchup fairly easily. Our next matchup, we have Jared versus Alex. Jared's currently winning 9.5 to 2.5. They've only played each other five times, and Jared's winning 3-2. They both have five pitchers remaining. On the categories side, Jared is winning by two runs, two home runs, five RBI. Stolen bases is tied. Jared's got OBP 355 to 276 and slugging 451 to 340. On the pitching side, Alex is winning by 16 Ks. Jared has ERA 1.56 to 4.79. He's got WHIP 6.35 to 1.318. Jared has one more win, and saves and holds are tied. So Jared's pretty much winning all the hitting categories except for stolen bases, which is tied. It is going to be an uphill battle for Alex this weekend to make up the ground and take some of those categories back. Like I said, both teams have five starters left this weekend. Alex has a big enough lead in Ks, and ERA, and WHIP. So those could, you know, pretty much already be decided. It'll be coin flip on who takes wins, holds, and saves. Jared's got three of his starting pitchers going today. So that'll get him closer to the 40-inning minimum mark and probably settle where his ERA and WHIP are going into. He doesn't have any pitchers going on Saturday, but he's got a couple on Sunday. So he might already have ERA and WHIP very securely locked up after tonight's games. So he might not need to worry about pitching Elder Sunday night. Jared has OBP and slug in hand, so Alex is going to just really need to hope his bats can rake this weekend to try and take back a couple of the hitting counting cats. Like I said, pitching's probably decided tonight. I just think it's going to be too many categories for Alex to flip. I think Jared takes this week and continues to rise up the power rankings. Next matchup, we've got Carter versus Niska. Carter's currently winning 8.5 to 3.5. Carter has six starting pitchers left. Niska has three. No one really cares about this matchup. Carter wins. Let's move on. All right, I'm kidding. This matchup is really exciting. Niska's bats came out to play this weekend. So the categories, Carter's winning by one run. Niska has three more home runs, three more RBI. Carter's locked up saves. He's up by five. OBP is 386 to Carter has 386 to Niska's 323. Niska has slug 519 to 458. On the pitching side, Carter's only up by one strikeout. ERA, he's winning 3.09 to 4.5. And he's got whip 1.057 to 1.304. Wins is tied. Saves, Carter's up by two. And holds, he's up by two as well. So even though Niska has eight home runs, the only hitting category that's really locked up is stolen bases, which favors Carter as well. On the pitching side, Carter's got the volume and the ratios to take K's, ERA, and whip, and he should be able to overtake wins as well. And once again, we see Niska oddly struggling to find saves or holds with only one save combined, you know, one hold and save combined this week with the one save. I think Carter rolls and becomes the fourth team in PPBDL history to go 6-0 to start a season. Our next matchup, Josh versus Derek. They've played each other 23 times. Josh is up 16-5-2, so we had two ties here. Josh has six pitchers left. Derek has three. Josh does not want to win this matchup, but Derek is making it near impossible for Josh to lose this matchup. I don't know if anyone has actually looked, but I hadn't looked until this morning. I can't stress how impossible Derek's hitting line is this week so far. I have been very frustrated with my hitters this year, and I think a lot of us share that same sentiment of, where did the power go? Where did our home runs go? But right now, the categories, Josh is winning by nine runs, one home run, four RBI. Derek has stolen bases by three. Derek is winning OBP 280 to 267. Derek is winning slugging 320 to 253. On the pitching side, Kamish is up by 2 Ks. He's winning ERA 3.09 to 5.3. He's got Kamish has whip 1 to 1.654. Josh is up by 2 wins. Derek has one more save and holds is tied. So Derek's line this week, he has 4 runs, 1 home run, and 3 RBI. I went back and looked to try and see what the lowest hitting categories were in a week. And we, in 2016 and 17, we had not made the All-Star week a combined week. So we had a couple years and a couple weeks where we didn't have a lot of hitting going. So some teams maybe made it to like 60 or 70 at-bats. So I tried to filter out those 2 weeks in 2016 and 17. So in a full week, and I put the minimum at-bat at 150 at-bats, the lowest run total was 9 runs, and the lowest RBI total was 9 RBI. So I think Derek can make it past those thresholds, but he's going to essentially need to double his output so far this weekend to try and not set the all-time lows in runs and RBI. Josh enjoyed his time so much at the sub 300 club a couple weeks ago that he's trying to go back this weekend. He's got a 267 OBP and a 253 slug. On the pitching side, Josh has the volume and should be able to keep K's, ERA, whip and holds. My prediction this weekend, a Mother's Day miracle. Derek comes back and wins. Not likely. I'm kidding. I think Josh gets his first win of the season, and Derek wants to burn this team to the ground and rebuild for next year. Our next matchup, we've got Dodger versus Irby. Dodgers currently winning 6.5 to 5.5. They've played each other 9 times. Irby's up 6-3. Irby and Dodger both have 6 pitchers going this weekend. I'm not including Paul Skeens. I'll get to that in a second. So the thoughts on this matchup. The fantasy gods got tired of Irby starting a catcher this season, so they let JD Martinez swing his bat and break Will Contreras' arm. So Josh no longer has a catcher the way I think the fantasy gods intended him to play fantasy baseball. On the category side, Dodgers up by one run. Irby has 5 more home runs, 8 more RBI. Stolen bases is tied. Dodger has OBP 283 to 280, and Irby has slugging 535 to 390. On the pitching side, Dodgers winning by 1K. Irby has ERA 4.56 to 4.81. Dodger has WHIP 1.188 to 1.364. Dodgers winning wins by 1, saves by 1, and Irby has 2 more holds. So I think Irby's locked up 3 hitting categories already with home runs, RBI, and slug. Dodger will need to try to hold his slim lead in runs and OBP. Pitching is a toss-up in every category with WHIP being the close to locked by Dodger and Irby up by 2 holds. They both have the 6 pitchers going this weekend, so nothing's really decided. I don't think we see Skeens get the call based on all the other prospects that Irby has not brought up this year. So I think Irby, even if it would put him over the top, he doesn't call up Skeens. We don't see any clocks started. I think Irby does come back. He takes one of the hitting categories. It's crazy to see 0-0 stolen bases right now, but I think JRAM gets him a stolen base this weekend. He takes back stolen bases. And Irby comes back and slightly edges out Dodger. Our final matchup of the week, we have Hammy versus Ryan. They've played each other 9 times. Ryan is up 7-1-1. So there was another tie there. Hammy has 7 pitchers going, and Ryan has 5. On the hitting categories, Hammy's currently winning by 5 runs. Ryan has 2 more home runs. He has 5 more RBI. Stolen bases is tied. Ryan's up in OBP 355 to 336. And Ryan is up in slugging 596 to 475. On the pitching side, Ryan's up by 1K. Hammy's locked up ERA and WHIP. He's got a 2.3 ERA to Ryan's 6.32. And Hammy's WHIP is 0.988 to Ryan's 1.309. Hammy's got 2 more wins, 1 more save, and Ryan has 3 more holds. Ryan really seems to bring out the best of his opponents hitting every week as we see another matchup where the bats come out to play. Hammy's done a great job to try and keep pace with Ryan's sluggers, but he still finds himself behind in almost all of the hitting categories. It's going to be tough. Kind of like Alex, it's just an uphill battle with the bats that he's going against. I don't know if Hammy's hitting lineup could produce any better than it currently has, and he's only really winning runs by 5, so he probably keeps that, but I think all the other hitting categories, it's going to be too tough to flip. On the pitching side, Hammy does have 2 more starters than Ryan, and he could easily take 5 of the 6 categories. So will Hammy be able to take stolen bases or somehow come back and take OBP to get this matchup into a tie? I think Ryan's pitchers, you know, even as bad as his ERA and WHIP are this week, he's currently low or the worst in the league with a 6.32 ERA and a 1.3 WHIP. I think his pitchers bounce back and have a monster weekend and bring those ratios towards the middle. So I think what ends up happening is we get a 6-6 tie. Even though Hammy is second right now in Roto, I think Ryan's pitchers bring some of those categories back towards the middle of the pack, and he comes back and takes Roto. So I think Ryan ends up winning in a tie, and Hammy gets the unlucky loss of the week. Our hitter of the week is really Marcus Semien. He's been balling out this week, but I'm going to say Shea Langeliers because of what he did in the doubleheader on, I think, Tuesday or Wednesday. He only has 13 at-bats this week. But in that doubleheader, he had 3 runs, 2 home runs, 8 RBI, no stolen bases. On the week, he's got a 385 OBP and a 1.077 slug. Our pitcher of the week, Petey Pablo, Pablo Lopez, he went 6 and a third innings pitched. He had 10 Ks, 1 win, 1.42 ERA, a 0.632 whip. The bullpen of the week, there hasn't been anyone that's, you know, really set themselves apart this week. I'll go with Class A. He picks up a win and a save in only 2 innings pitched this week so far. The Friday fun fact. So since I started doing the rundown, 4 weeks into it now, the team that has been winning at the time of recording, so, you know, 3 of these I've done on a Friday, 1 I had to do on a Saturday. So since I've started, the team that has been winning at the time of the recording has gone on to win their matchup. Let's see. So in week 3 when I first started, 4-1-1, so there was one tie, so I didn't count that one way or another. So 4-1, essentially. Week 4, 6-0. Week 5, 6-0. So really, so far it looks like if you're winning going into Friday and that one time going into Saturday, you've got a very strong chance of winning the week. So far, my predictions this season, week 3, I went 5-1. Week 4, I went 4-2. And week 5, I went 5-1. So I should obviously just pick who's ever winning the week right now and go with them, ride the hot hand. So that's all I've got for you, boys. Happy Mother's Day to all those out there, all the mothers out there. Congratulations to all the fathers on making them mothers. And let's have a weekend.